is Common Sense Radio. Straightforward and no excuses.
All right. Come on now.
This is the Steve Gruber Show.
Call me crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
What I said was perfectly right and spot on accurate.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it all.
Stop. Yeah, stop. I mean, you're way off script.
Got it in me. Gonna quit until it all comes out.
Hey, boy.
Yeah, you know, it's not cynical, it's common sense.
Pay attention to me when I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna rock the nation.
Genuine, accountable, and raw. Here is Steve Gruber.
There is a new clear and ominous warning to Americans everywhere, and you should take it very seriously. Welcome to the Steve Gruber Show on a Tuesday, brought to you in part by Mesa, good health, good business, and great schools. A new clear and ominous warning that Americans everywhere should be taking very seriously this day. Current information suggests that ISIL, a.k.a. Daesh, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and other terrorist groups continue to plan terrorist attacks in multiple regions, read a statement released yesterday by the United States State Department. These attacks may employ a wide variety of tactics using conventional and non-conventional weapons and targeting both official and private interests. The warning is a worldwide message to Americans. You are the target of terrorists. You are the target of terrorists at home and overseas. This coming from, of course, in large part, the same group President Barack Obama called the JV team, while also avoiding calling the killers radical Islamic terrorists. It is a term avoided by most high-profile Democrats who seem more comfortable attacking political enemies, most often the Republicans. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, the two leading Democratic candidates for president, also refused to call the terrorists for what they are. Let's go over it again. Speak slowly and repeat after me. Radical Islamic terrorists. The statement went on to include the following. Authorities believe the likelihood of terror attacks will continue as members of ISIL-Daesh return from Syria and Iraq. Additionally, there is a continuing threat from unaffiliated persons planning attacks inspired by major terrorist organizations, but conducted on an individual basis. Extremists have targeted large sporting events, theaters, open markets, and aviation services. In the past year, there have been multiple attacks in France, Nigeria, Denmark, Turkey, and Mali. ISIL, Daesh, which is what we're working to call it the proper thing finally, has claimed responsibility for the bombing of a Russian airliner in Egypt. The department says all U.S. citizens should remain vigilant when in public places or using transportation. Now, here's the key. Here's the key to the conversation today. It's not about terrorism that we know exists. It's not about the weakness of our leadership. We know that exists. It's not about the fanaticism of these people that want to kill you, your wife, your family, and your dog. We know that exists. And there's no question that this evil, and yes, there is true evil in this world, this evil lurks among us. The real point is this. Ronald Reagan famously asked Jimmy Carter in the fall of 1980, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" He said that little more than a week before the election of 1980. It turned everything on its ear. Ronald Reagan, one walking away. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? I think the question Americans need to ask themselves going into 2016, in fact, they must ask themselves, is a bit different and maybe much more important than it was in 1980. Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? Are you safer today than you were 4 years ago? Well, are you? Ask your Democratic friends the same. Ask your liberal friends. Ask your supporters of Barack Obama and those ready for Hillary. Are you also ready for terrorism? Are you safer than you were 4 years ago? Give that some thought. Overnight, the Turkish military shot down a Russian MiG jet. They say it was over their territory near the Syrian border. The Russians deny it. Both pilots did bail out of the plane. But there it is. The Turks have shot down a Russian fighter jet. along the frontier with Syria. That's nothing but good news for you today. The hotline number is 888-900-9966, 888-900-9966. Brian on the line now with a comment. Brian, welcome to it.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Yeah, I see that American ingenuity is still superior, that a Turkish plane was an F-16, American F-16, and the Russian was an Su-24. So if only we had real leadership in our country that could run this military, the best military in the world, we would have something going on. But unfortunately, we got to let the Russians and the French do our jobs.
Well, and thankfully, the declared socialist, President Hollande of France, is stepping up and pounding this scourge, this cancer. And frankly, so is Putin. He just lost a jet, and he can dispute whether or not he was in Turkish airspace. They can dispute that. But the fact of the matter is, at least the Russians are getting up and getting it done. Now, the Americans, in fairness, have also escalated the attacks on ISIL, on Daesh. But we didn't do it until we were encouraged, until we were prodded to do so.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just think that it's only going to get hotter there, and just all hell is going to break loose before you know it. It's just people, the American people, they don't know what they're in for. They look at you sometimes with glazed eyes.
Well, that's for sure.
Those glazed eyes are going to have to stop being so glazed. They're going to have to stop smoking their medical marijuana and wake up, Steve.
Brian, I appreciate the call. Thank you for stopping in today. The phone number here is 888-900-9966. And speaking of the future of Syria, in an interview with Hong Kong-based Phoenix TV, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad says he wants a secular country with freedom of religion. Really? Go.
On Friday evening, the United Nations Security Council unanimously agreed Resolution 2249, calling on member states
to take... No, that's not what we want. Hold on, stop. That's David Cameron.
The political system,
Mr. Speaker,
parliamentarian, presidential, semi-presidential, federal conference, and so on. But the most important thing for us and for me, that the constitution and the whole system and the country in general should be secular. Secular doesn't mean against religion. Secular means the freedom of religions. It's the system that can include every religion, followers, every sect, and every ethnicity under one umbrella, which is the Syrian umbrella.
So if you're missing what he's saying there, he wants a secular nation, a democracy, with freedom of religion, freedom of ethnicity. This is what Assad is saying, that he wants to create, but not a Muslim nation. He knows that because they'll come chop his head off because he is the, he's an infidel. He doesn't qualify. So it is. It is 14 after the hour on this Tuesday. Are you safer than you were 4 years ago? Ask yourself that today as you look around at everything that's going on. When we come back, we'll meet the live studio audience. And again, welcome aboard WHAK. Serving Alpena, Rogers City, and Sheboygan, climbing on board yesterday here at the program. Whole bunch more stations on the way in the next few weeks as well. We'll talk about that. It is the Steve Gruber Show.
Delivering Michigan common sense with a big dose of truth and honesty.
It is Tuesday here on the Steve Gruber Show. Brother Shane in the studio. We call him Brother Shane because he's, my brother Shane. Welcome to it there.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, one of the things we talk about over time, you and I, because we're both gun owners and so forth, is, guns, frankly, and gun ownership and hypocrisy. And what I find stunning now is because of the attacks in Paris, you're hearing calls now. It's time to ban all assault weapons because the terrorists used assault weapons in Paris. So let me follow the logic here for the folks. That with terrorists on the loose and terrorist attacks on the rise, now is the time to disarm Americans.
Well, one thing I found interesting for quite a while now is I have some acquaintances who are of the Jewish faith. And Jewish people tend to be very liberal. Not always, but there's a side that they go to. And they've always been against guns. Well, I've asked a number of them, or several of them. I say, hey, you think we should have guns here? What about the state of Israel? Well, that's different. Why is that different? Well, they're under a state of siege all the time. Well, have we looked at Paris lately? It looks like a state of siege to me. But in Israel, it's interesting because the current wave of terror, where Palestinians are stabbing, it's a big thing to go out and stab Israeli citizens. The current wave has taken about 10 lives. That's not as high as been promoted, but that's still more than what should happen. So Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli president, made a controversial call and said that all citizens who legally own firearms should bring them to the streets to increase security among the wave of stabbings. And attackers are more likely to die because citizens have armed themselves in recent weeks. Fatalities among Palestinians are more than double that of stabbing victims during the month of October.
Bring the guns to the streets and make it safe for everybody.
Right. And so,
you know, I've advocated the same thing. Of course, I'm called a knuckle dragging, you know, flag waving, you know, extreme neocon, whatever, whatever.
Right. But in Israel, it has proven to be a benefit. Now, would it be a benefit here? I think so.
Yeah, well, in some circumstances, certainly. I mean, would it have been a benefit at the Bataclan? You know, in Paris? You know, obviously, if somebody could have defended
so.
The place.
It was a, you know, and when you're in a situation like we take the theaters, sure enough that when the guy came in and started shooting in Colorado, took everybody by surprise. He got off some rounds.
A lot.
And for somebody to have the wherewithal to take out a concealed weapon and put a stop to it could have been, you know, could have stopped it earlier, obviously.
Clearly, in Colorado, he killed a dozen and wounded many, many more. Now, hold on right there. We got a hotline number call we're going to take real quick. Steve is on the line. Welcome to the program, Steve, on the hotline today.
I hope you and yours have a fabulous Thanksgiving.
Appreciate that. You too, my friend.
Did you see 60 Minutes Sunday night?
No, I did not. Bring us up to speed.
The segment I'm talking about was some police chief or American top cop or some craziness. She fit the narrative of being like a poster child because of her looks. But the one thing that she said that made absolute total sense was this business of the active shooter, how they have to react. They are telling people to react completely different than what they would have even 3 years ago, as far as to be more proactive and to be aware of your surroundings and all the stuff to go with it. The other part of my comment is that until you guys are able to figure out how we need to get past the brain-dead individuals that say that want to create these no-gun zones, that only allows the active shooter to go farther, faster.
And I agree with that. Steve,
and
we need to stop those gun-free zones.
Yeah, you shake that, you're done. There's nothing you can do. And like Larry the Cable Guy says, you can't fix stupid.
Thanks for checking in. You know, the gun-free zones are a big conversation right in Michigan right now with Governor Snyder.
Well, yeah, because he's threatened to veto anything about gun-free zones, schools, et cetera, where you can now legally open carry in a school has been determined. Now, here's a quote. Since we last debated in Las Vegas, nearly 3,000 people have been killed by guns. 200 children have been killed. This is an emergency.
Is that the mayor of Chicago?
No, this is a quote from Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Since the last debate in Vegas. Now, according to the Gun Violence Archive, there's been 11,485 gun deaths in the U.S. so far this year, which she is claiming 3,000 since they debated in Vegas. It's a little bit inflated. This doesn't fit. But that's what they're throwing out there are stats that just don't make any sense. Now, that 11,000 and so number of people, about 60% of those are suicides.
Yeah, the majorities are suicides.
Majority
correct.
Are suicides. So
And then the other largest grouping is gangs and drugs. Once you take suicides, gangs, and drugs off the board, there's no violence in America to speak of. The chance of being shot in a random act of violence using a gun in America is minuscule.
It is. And once you take those out, the numbers are very much lower. And assault weapons, they want to ban assault weapons, the amount of ammunition. If the biggest problem with guns is suicides, how many rounds do you need for a suicide?
Well,
okay,
but hopefully one.
Well, yeah, if you need more than one, you probably should do something else.
Figure something.
So banning assault weapons, which is not normally, very rarely, the choice of suicide, and the amount of ammunition has not solved the death problem.
That's exactly right. All right, it is 25 after. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts now with the state of things in the Americans being warned and the way the warning came from the State Department? It's not just traveling overseas. It's to be vigilant here at home as well. The warning is clear. The warning is ominous. The warning is that America, you are a target, and as an American, you are a target. Is now the time really to give up guns or assault weapons or anything else? Not common sense. No, sir. It's the Steve Gruber Show on a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
All right, time to address a couple of concerns I have here about political correctness. Let's talk about it. In the quest to make maleness, you know, being a man illegal and destroy any distinction between men and women, the radical progressive left has entered into our restrooms. Funny how the left screams about Republicans being in their bathrooms and wombs and the imaginary war on women, but have no qualms whatsoever in invading the restroom and demanding gender neutrality while using the toilet. Now, I happen to think a lot of things are going in the toilet these days, but I regress. Let's get started, shall we? In places like the People's Republic of California, elementary-aged and so-called transgender kids are being granted permission to use whatever restrooms they want. Absurd, I realize, as a 5-year-old should have no clue about sexuality to speak of, but the left assures us that little kids, not yet in kindergarten, fully understand their gayness. Uh-huh. Kids that believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy understand adult sexual behavior and desires? Sure they do. About as much as they understand flying reindeer. At any rate, with this in mind, I think we should just jump to the next logical conclusion with regards to the public toilet. It is time to eliminate the urinal. After all, it is a blatant symbol of sexism, and it is demeaning to women who battle each day to overcome male privilege. It's also an affront to the LGBT community in general. It should simply be outlawed immediately. Can you imagine how many gay, lesbian, and transgendered kids in elementary schools across America could suffer irrevocable damage emotionally just by seeing a device that openly accepts and promotes the notion that boys actually have penises and are different biologically from girls? I know, shocking, right? While we're at it, I think all public restrooms should be gender neutral and open to anyone. In fact, I don't think we should even put doors on restrooms. I mean, why does anyone deserve any privacy when they really don't even need it? After all, we should all be comfortable enough with the brave, new, progressive, liberal world that we should air dry our, well, no longer private parts after voiding our bowels and bladders. How insensitive would it be to actually try to condition people to be sexist in their social norms of closing doors and defecating in private? Let's be honest. A bathroom door is little more than a barrier to equality and frankly strikes me as misogynistic. It's time to tear down the barriers of freedom, my friends. Furthermore, how dare I stand up while urinating? Who the hell do I think I am anyway? Standing up and urinating, I might as well scream my approval of male privilege in America and let women know how superior I really am. And while we're at it, I think there are a whole host of things we must simply get rid of immediately to make sure that the institutions of racism, sexism, colonialism, privilege, and, well, surely anything that promotes America is removed from plain sight to make sure no one could possibly be offended by anything ever again. Let's start with baseball. America's pastime has a rich history of racism and bigotry. It clearly should be removed immediately from the mainstream of the nation. After all, the first black man to play the game, Jackie Robinson, didn't get a chance to play in the bigs until 1947. Decades after the pro baseball debut. Therefore, just like the demands of emotionally damaged college kids remove any reference to Woodrow Wilson at Princeton for his well-known racist leanings, we should remove any references to baseball anywhere in America because there was a time, 20 years before I was born, that the game was segregated. Anyone can see how this could be psychologically devastating to those born decades later and watching the World Series on TV. In fact, while we're at it, I think it's pretty clear that all professional sports in America should be banned right now. The NFL, NBA, and even the NHL have long histories of not letting in players of color, and, well, that is before they did let people in. Anyhow, worse today, in the year 2015, there is not a single woman playing professional baseball, football, basketball, or hockey in the aforementioned leagues. I am quite sure that my own daughter, upon realizing she has no chance to ever weigh 325 pounds and start at left tackle for the Oakland Raiders, could face a life of uncertainty, self-doubt, and a total sense of helplessness. What are you laughing at? Speaking of television, that is another place that we could get rid of this long-standing bias and prejudice that permeates from the small screen. There was a time when white people were about the only ones on TV. There was a time when the entertainment industry had virtually no actors of color. With that in mind, it is almost certainly a place that marginalized people of various backgrounds, and therefore it should be removed from the public arena at once. Can you imagine the number of kids born in the 1990s that might be shocked to hear decades before they were born? The world was actually a different place. This could easily create an environment and mindset that would violate the very idea of safe spaces and simply will not do. Unplug the tube, outlaw television now. Mainstream media and music was also dominated by a pale white cast for decades, and therefore I think we should shut down all radio stations and the use of all iPods, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, or anything else that continues to turn a profit in an industry that was once dominated, that is, by white men. In fact, I think we should pull the plug on Apple altogether. After all, Steve Jobs wasn't a genius by any stretch of the imagination. He was just a guy that used roads and other facilities paid for by others, likely victims of capitalism, and drove his company to the top, fueled solely not by talent, but by white privilege. He was not exceptional in any way. He was simply a white guy who got special treatment. It's time to take all the money created by Apple and redistribute it to the people that really earned it and deserved it. That, of course, is anyone that isn't white, currently living in the United States, or wants to live in the United States, or has ever thought about living in the United States, or just thinks America is a bad place. Spread the cash. Spread the cash, people. In fact, if you are old enough to remember the TV commercial about America put out by Chevrolet, it went something like baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet. I think it's pretty obvious that every single one of these things should be banned as soon as possible to prevent the emotional damage that is clearly inevitable if we don't act now. Let's review how easy it is to find offense in just about everything every day if you're just willing to become a progressive victim. Baseball. Now, we already covered that. It is a game founded by racists, promoted by racists, and rooted in bigotry. Hot dogs. Now, this is an easy one. Pigs are being raised for the express purpose of feeding people, which is clearly in violation of their express animal rights, not to mention that porcine flatulence contributes to global climate disruption change, which, according to liberals, leads to unrest and then hostility, and ultimately creates an environment where young men buy AK-47s and make suicide vests before killing as many innocent people as possible in bloody rampages thousands of miles away from home. I hope you choke on your wiener. Apple pie? I mean, Johnny Appleseed was white. Do I need to say more? Come on, people. And of course, Chevrolet, like every American company, was built on the sweating backs of working people that were clearly exploited by the man in pursuit of profits. And what the hell would they do with their money anyway? Probably just squander it on, well, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolets. Now, Shane, do you understand?
Yes, every American auto company was built by white people.
Of white privilege on the backs of sweating, exploited people.
Not the workers on the line, not the people who built the cars, but the people who invented the cars to put those people to work were all white.
Were all privileged people.
It's interesting, though, that the distribution of people of African descent throughout the United States is based on industry. People from the South that were descended from slaves moved to this general area to
Ford
work.
Henry Ford paid white and black employees the same rate.
Yes, and he hired him without hesitation.
At $5 a day. Hey, do we have that commercial, Alex? Let's remind people. You got that? Did you find that?
In the years that I've been living, A lot of things have surely changed.
Oh, we took the long version.
A lot of things have come and gone. Some even came back again. But through all the many changes.
Genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
All right, time to address a couple of concerns I have here about political correctness. Let's talk about it. In the quest to make maleness, you know, being a man illegal and destroy any distinction between men and women, the radical progressive left has entered into our restrooms. Funny how the left screams about Republicans being in their bathrooms and wombs in the imaginary war on women, but have no qualms whatsoever in invading the restroom and demanding gender neutrality while using the toilet. Now, I happen to think a lot of things are going in the toilet these days, but I regress. Let's get started, shall we? In places like the People's Republic of California, elementary-aged and so-called transgender kids are being granted permission to use whatever restrooms they want. Absurd, I realize, as a 5-year-old should have no clue about sexuality to speak of, but the left assures us that little kids, not yet in kindergarten, fully understand their gayness. Uh-huh. Kids that believe in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy understand adult sexual behavior and desires? Sure they do. About as much as they understand flying reindeer. At any rate, with this in mind, I think we should just jump to the next logical conclusion with regards to the public toilet. It is time to eliminate the urinal. After all, it is a blatant symbol of sexism, and it is demeaning to women who battle each day to overcome male privilege. It's also an affront to the LGBT community in general. It should simply be outlawed immediately. Can you imagine how many gay, lesbian, and transgendered kids in elementary schools across America could suffer irrevocable damage emotionally just by seeing a device that openly accepts and promotes the notion that boys actually have penises and are different biologically from girls? I know, shocking, right? While we're at it, I think all public restrooms should be gender neutral and open to anyone. In fact, I don't think we should even put doors on restrooms. I mean, why does anyone deserve any privacy when they really don't even need it? After all, we should all be comfortable enough with the brave, new, progressive, liberal world that we should air dry our, well, no longer private parts after voiding our bowels and bladders. How insensitive would it be to actually try to condition people to be sexist in their social norms of closing doors and defecating in private? Let's be honest. A bathroom door is little more than a barrier to equality and frankly strikes me as misogynistic. It's time to tear down the barriers of freedom, my friends. Furthermore, how dare I stand up while urinating? Who the hell do I think I am anyway? Standing up and urinating, I might as well scream my approval of male privilege in America and let women know how superior I really am. And while we're at it, I think there are a whole host of things we must simply get rid of immediately to make sure that the institutions of racism, sexism, colonialism, privilege, and, well, surely anything that promotes America is removed from plain sight to make sure no one could possibly be offended by anything ever again. Let's start with baseball. America's pastime has a rich history of racism and bigotry. It clearly should be removed immediately from the mainstream of the nation. After all, the first black man to play the game, Jackie Robinson, didn't get a chance to play in the bigs until 1947, decades after the pro baseball debut. Therefore, just like the demands of emotionally damaged college kids remove any reference to Woodrow Wilson at Princeton for his well-known racist leanings, we should remove any references to baseball anywhere in America because there was a time, 20 years before I was born, that the game was segregated. Anyone can see how this could be psychologically devastating to those born decades later and watching the World Series on TV. In fact, while we're at it, I think it's pretty clear that all professional sports in America should be banned right now. The NFL, NBA, and even the NHL have long histories of not letting in players of color, and, well, that is before they did let people in. Anyhow, worse today, in the year 2015, there is not a single woman playing professional baseball, football, basketball, or hockey in the aforementioned leagues. I am quite sure that my own daughter, upon realizing she has no chance to ever weigh 325 pounds and start at left tackle for the Oakland Raiders, could face a life of uncertainty, self-doubt, and a total sense of helplessness. What are you laughing at? Speaking of television, that is another place that we could get rid of this long-standing bias and prejudice that permeates from the small screen. There was a time when white people were about the only ones on TV. There was a time when the entertainment industry had virtually no actors of color. With that in mind, it is almost certainly a place that marginalized people of various backgrounds, and therefore it should be removed from the public arena at once. Can you imagine the number of kids born in the 1990s that might be shocked to hear decades before they were born? The world was actually a different place. This could easily create an environment and mindset that would violate the very idea of safe spaces and simply will not do. Unplug the tube, outlaw television now. Mainstream media and music was also dominated by a pale white cast for decades, and therefore I think we should shut down all radio stations and the use of all iPods, iTunes, Pandora, Spotify, or anything else that continues to turn a profit in an industry that was once dominated, that is, by white men. In fact, I think we should pull the plug on Apple altogether. After all, Steve Jobs wasn't a genius by any stretch of the imagination. He was just a guy that used roads and other facilities paid for by others, likely victims of capitalism, and drove his company to the top, fueled solely not by talent, but by white privilege. He was not exceptional in any way. He was simply a white guy who got special treatment. It's time to take all the money created by Apple and redistribute it to the people that really earned it and deserved it. That, of course, is anyone that isn't white, currently living in the United States, or wants to live in the United States, or has ever thought about living in the United States, or just thinks America is a bad place. Spread the cash. Spread the cash, people. In fact, if you are old enough to remember the TV commercial about America put out by Chevrolet, it went something like baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, Chevrolet. I think it's pretty obvious that every single one of these things should be banned as soon as possible to prevent the emotional damage that is clearly inevitable if we don't act now. Let's review how easy it is to find offense in just about everything every day if you're just willing to become a progressive victim. Baseball. Now, we already covered that. It is a game founded by racists, promoted by racists, and rooted in bigotry. Hot dogs. Now, this is an easy one. Pigs are being raised for the express purpose of feeding people, which is clearly in violation of their express animal rights, not to mention that porcine flatulence contributes to global climate disruption change, which, according to liberals, leads to unrest and then hostility, and ultimately creates an environment where young men buy AK-47s and make suicide vests before killing as many innocent people as possible in bloody rampages thousands of miles away from home. I hope you choke on your wiener. Apple pie? I mean, Johnny Appleseed was white. Do I need to say more? Come on, people. And of course, Chevrolet, like every American company, was built on the sweating backs of working people that were clearly exploited by the man in pursuit of profits. And what the hell would they do with their money anyway? Probably just squander it on, well, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolets. Now, Shane, do you understand?
Yes, every American auto company was built by white people.
Of white privilege on the backs of sweating, exploited people.
Not the workers on the line, not the people who built the cars, but the people who invented the cars to put those people to work were all white.
Were all privileged people.
It's interesting, though, that the distribution of people of African descent throughout the United States is based on industry. People from the South that were one time descended from slaves moved to this general
Henry Ford paid white and black employees the same rate.
Yes, and he hired him without hesitation.
At $5 a day. Hey, do we have that commercial, Alex? Let's remind people. You got that? Did you find that?
In the years that I've been living, a lot of things have surely changed.
Oh, we took the long version.
A lot of things have come and gone. Some even came back again.